Well, it finally happened. We were on what was, you know, alleged to be our last step, the final approval meeting. Kijana, may I ask our question to start? What happened with the meeting that we've been waiting for 2 years? I'm sorry, was it a leading question? Go ahead.
Well, the good news is that we did pass the vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were all put through at once.
That was hilarious.
That was so anticlimactic.
It was so anticlimactic because obviously we've been waiting for this vote for over a month now. And they went through on the provisional license every single person one by one. And it was so funny because this one commissioner, I don't know what was grinding her gears yesterday.
You know exactly what it was.
Well, yeah, I do actually. She wants to make sure everybody's getting the right educational information.
100%.
And
pamphlets. People were talking pamphlets.
We're talking pamphlets. She's going full Gary. She wants to make sure everyone was getting the right information in the pamphlets, all the contact info, yada, yada, yada. So she put a condition on every single person's whatever. Fine. Then they got to, well, there were some technical
first lunch
difficulties.
Break.
Yeah, there was a lunch break. Then they got back and there was technical one man,
just the one of them couldn't work the Zoom at the moment. So we did.
And I found that hilarious because when he did finally, after several, breaks, to sort the issue, he said, "You could have moved on without me." And I thought that was, hysterical.
Absolutely. I'm not sure if they knew that their mics were on or that they did not care, because also at one point everyone was back at 1:40, but the message said
we're not
in recess
till
1:45. So then they said, "Oh, I'm going to take advantage of that extra 5 minutes. See ya, as if none of us could hear them.
And I was like, why do it?
Also,
like, you guys are all back.
We've
been
behind.
On for hours. Oh, let's not forget that they spent the first 2 hours of the meeting, like, congratulating
just
themselves.
Patting their own backs.
if you can imagine,
social equity. If you can imagine, as we're waiting to hear if we're potentially going to get our final license, plus years in the making, they're going to talk about
some of the things they were saying about social equity were so infuriating. Like, as someone who's been in the process and just hearing them like talk, it was like, you guys are literally talk.
Delusional. Also, what I will say is crazy as well is when they were talking about things like quote unquote updates for things like social consumption, they say things like, "We've talked to everyone and now we're going to go back and review information." I'm sorry, what is that a step, reviewing information? Also, we're what, 2 years into your pilot program, you're still reviewing information? Like, it's nuts. I see why nothing ever gets done.
I remember that one of the data points was that the ownership of the industry is like 74 or 79% just white male. And the percentage of black people working in the industry was like seven.
Seven.
Maybe it was lower than that because I cried when I saw it.
Yeah. That's so
whichever the number was, I cried when I saw it. I was genuinely like in tears. I honestly do think it was lower than that. I was so devastated by it. But anyways, I know we're going to talk more about
the
meeting.
Next week, we're going to do a full breakdown. We have a bunch of new growth, actually. We're going to talk about the meeting. Hopefully, we'll have some newer updates too. But basically, the long and short of it is, after this fucking final approval, excuse my language, this is marked explicit, they then send us a follow-up email to schedule our, wait for it, because it's a term you've never heard, post-final inspection. If you ever find that my body has exploded, please tell me that the blood on the wall spells post-final inspection, because I'll never recover from this. What does that even mean? How about you don't call, you know what, again, we're going to get into this fully, but I'm just going to say, how about you don't call the last one the final inspection if there's, in fact, another inspection around the corner?
Yeah.
Sorry, there's not a question there, but do you have anything?
You know, what I'll just say is, like, emotions are really high right now.
Especially mine.
It was just a disappointing outcome on what should have been a really great day.
We thought we were going to go to lunch today.
Yeah.
No one's going to lunch today.
Okay. No, I don't think.
No.
We are. But it's hard because I think, and we just kind of had this conversation the other day as a team, but like, you know, there's this balance that we are in where we know how important it is to take a step back and celebrate even the small successes, because they are successes and they do count. And this is a really important moment and milestone in the journey. It's just so hard because it doesn't feel like it, because it feels like we're still just yet again, who knows how long away from actually doing our work.
Yeah.
And we just miss doing our work. I know I just miss doing our work.
It's just maddening too, because like, so now we can buy supplies, so we can get started on some things, but we still can't, you know, really do anything that means anything.
We need to make money. Like, that is just the reality. Like, we as a business.
And sell people some weed cookies.
And this is what's frustrating. This is what's really frustrating about everything. And again, I know we weren't supposed to get into it. It doesn't make sense that the commission says that they support equity applicants and that they support small businesses when they've created this process, because it doesn't play out as such. Because every day counts. And I just can't stress this enough. Like, I know I've said before, like, oh, we're really getting down to the wire. Like, we're at the wire, actually, right now. Like, shit has hit the fan. And there's just only so long that we can keep ourselves afloat like this. And it's hard. And it's not fair, because we've been working so hard and we've done everything that they've asked us.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just get to that point where it's like, you're like, when is it going to be over? Because the trust is gone. Like, we don't feel like they will tell us really, like, what's even happening. You know, why didn't they tell us before that we were going to have another inspection to expect? It's really frustrating. So I think it's just hard.
Yeah. It's absolutely maddening. We're going to sit on it for a week, but we're going to get back to it. Yeah, and you got some of our emotion there, but we're going to think about it practically, and we're going to talk more about it next week. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, let's go through the star cast, because we have some transits. Okay, so we're talking about the 17th to the 23rd.
Okay.
So Monday to Sunday. On the 17th Monday, the Sun in Libra trines Mars in Gemini.
Cute.
Yeah.
Fun.
Good vibes?
Yeah, why not? I mean, the Sun and Mars doing a little trine is, I just think it's energetic.
Okay, good.
Honestly.
Energy in the air.
Yeah.
I love that.
I just see it as like a boost of energy. I think Mars, if anything, is energizing the Sun, because we know the Sun's in its fall. But either way, like, just a little burst of energy, you know, get going on something. This is on Monday.
Yep.
Yeah, so like just like.
Great way to start the week.
Yeah. Beginning of the week vibes, get going on something that, you know, you're curious about. You know, Mars is in Gemini, so it's a lot of that, like, curious, kind of fun, flirty energy. And Libra has a really fun, flirty energy about it, and it's airy, you know? So it's so just, true. Like, it should just be light and exciting, energetic.
Okay, awesome. Great way to start the week.
Yeah, I think so, too.
On the next day, Tuesday, Venus follows suit, so it's Venus and Libra trines Mars and Gemini.
Okay, yeah.
So pretty much, you know, similar energy.
Well, Mars and Venus, when they're dancing, like, their dance is very specific, and, you know, it's definitely a very kind of like there's a love and an intimacy and like a sexual energy.
Ooh, kind of like Gleb in our guy, as, Teresa would say, Shangela.
Shangela, yes. Oh, my God. Such a perfect.
Oh, my God. I love them.
Oh, my God. I love them, too. The season of Dancing with the Stars. Actually, Ange, our lovely Ange, like, literally made fun of me last night for watching Dancing with the Stars. But anyways, yeah, exactly. It's totally like that. It's totally like, will they, won't they?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially a trine, because it's like they're just like supporting each other and they're on a good page with one another in that aspect. So I think that's really fun.
I love it. Okay, so then on Wednesday, the next day, the 19th, the Sun in Libra squares Pluto in Capricorn. So that's where the fun stops.
Well, I think the good news, right, is that Pluto is not retrograde anymore. So, like, we're getting some movement around that. I will say squares are Pluto's aspect. So it does tend to be, you know, the more kind of, like, powerful one in the aspect. And it certainly is in this aspect, this transit in particular. You know, a Sun in Pluto square is just... You know, it's just bringing that reality that, like, yeah, there is death and things go, but there's also transformation. And I think if you want to keep up the good vibe that was, like, coming through earlier in the week, you can really kind of focus on looking for the silver lining in it, kind of like what we just said we were going to do about what happened with the whole CCC thing.
Okay, good. So by Wednesday, we'll have it settled.
I think we'll have it settled. I think that will be the day where, you know, reality is reality, and I think we're all okay with that.
Yep.
But I think that there's a framing that you can choose to do in your life.
Totally.
All the time.
Totally.
You can always choose.
And that really makes the difference.
Yeah, to frame things in a way that support positive outcomes and positive vibes.
Totally.
In general.
Just lift yourself up. It's possible.
Why not? And definitely, it's possible.
It's definitely possible. Okay, on the 22nd, Saturday, we have a few things. So Saturn goes direct in Aquarius.
Nice.
The Sun in Libra conjuncts Venus in Libra. And Mercury in Libra trines Saturn in Aquarius. What a little jumble we have going on there.
So one thing I will say is, like, great that Saturn is stationing direct. I think, especially for, like, you, with your Saturn return happening in Saturn. This Saturn is in its home stretch now of this Aquarius run. March of next year, it's gone.
It's gone.
What's that, five months?
Gone, baby, gone. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're on the tail end of this.
5-6 months. So. Yeah. You know, we are. We're on the tail end of this. And I think that is a good thing. I think, you know, where Saturn's going in Pisces, this is going to be some different energy.
Yeah.
Things are going to switch up a little bit. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, we've had Saturn in its home signs for the last, it'll be 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, when all is said and done, almost seven. So, you know, I think we're all a little bit ready for Saturn to just quiet down
Move
a little
over.
Bit. Yeah, I think we get it. We've
gotten it.
We are accepting responsibility.
Yes.
We have been doing that for some time, you know. So I think, you know, I personally will be happy to see Saturn, you know, move forward and go into Pisces and see what that brings. So this is nice. Saturn stationing direct. This is a nice direction that we're heading in. I think that the Venus-Sun conjunction is super sweet. You know, this whole Libra season or since Venus has gotten into Libra and the Sun's been there, you know, the Sun is being really supported by Venus this Libra season, which is really nice. You know, that doesn't always happen that we get Venus in Libra during a Libra season. So to have that at this time, it's really nice and supportive. You know what it gives for me? It's like, you know how sometimes we kind of think that everyone's, like, secretly against us?
Yes.
Or the world is
everyone
secretly against us.
Yeah, 100%.
Or everyone hates us. This is, like, that reminder that, like, that's just not
that's
true.
That's simply not
that's
the
just
case.
Your ego.
Yeah.
Just doing ego things.
Mm-hmm.
Not that important.
That's the human part of you.
You know, because the Sun is the ego, right?
Yeah.
And Venus is just there to remind you, like, no, you actually are quite loved.
Yeah.
You know, people actually
you
do really
loved,
like
you.
You
are loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that.
Exactly. So I think it's really sweet. And then the Mercury, can you,
Mercury in Libra trine Saturn in Aquarius.
Saturn. So, and that is happening the same day that, Saturn goes direct.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Saturn is going direct, getting a little support from Mercury while it goes direct, just kind of saying like, yeah, to the point that we were making earlier, like, I really do think these last 6.5-7 years have shown us what our responsibilities are. If you're looking for it, if you've been wanting to know, hey, what the fuck am I responsible for? Why did I come here?
Yes.
The universe has provided opportunity, message, example after fucking example for you. And like now, this last home stretch of Saturn in Aquarius, if you haven't yet, open your eyes, get it together, and keep it going.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
We have a sprint left here.
Yeah, we've got a sprint left, and it's like, let's just get through
it. And on a high note.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so on our last day, Sunday the 23rd, we begin Scorpio season.
Yay.
The Sun enters Scorpio. Venus also enters Scorpio. And our girl Juno goes direct in Pisces.
Okay, fun. You know, a couple things about that. First of all, I love Scorpio season.
Yeah, same.
I do.
Spooky.
I'm a huge, you know, fan of scorpionic energy. We've got some great Scorpios on our team.
Oh,
Sarah
the best.
And Ange. And I love them. Actually, Sarah, Ange, and I are all also Pisces rising.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of just like fun overlap there. But the fact that Venus is also going to be going into Scorpio. Personally, I like Venus in Scorpio.
Okay.
I know that she is in her detriment there because, you know, it's the opposite sign of Taurus, which is her home. And I get it because Venus in Scorpio is like she's being pulled within.
Okay.
And into the most divine parts of herself.
That's beautiful.
It is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think that in that, though, because it's not what she's used to doing, that's why it's considered being in her detriment. But this is such a good example of why that doesn't have to be the worst version of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It can just be a different version of you.
I love that.
And I think Venus and Scorpio, for me, it's just a super, like, sexy energy, but it's like, me like knowing that I'm sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I
not
mean?
Not that like desperate sexy.
Yeah. Like yeah. not needing to get that validation yeah. from someone else or from anything external. Like really carrying
just, like,
it within.
Like shining it from within. Yeah.
It's just like Rihanna. Like,
yeah.
Oozes.
Ooh, yeah. 100%.
Just sexuality.
And, like, power.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like all of that. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
that energy.
Just like cool energy. So the coolest. Cool.
The coolest.
I love
so it. I love Venus in Scorpio. I think that's a super fun thing for the sun to be going in Scorpio and Venus to just like I said, like Venus is doing a lot to support the sun right now.
Yeah.
Seems like they're like tag teaming and I love that for her. I love for her to have, you know, like a strong man to guide her. Just kidding. No, I love that for Venus. I love that for the sun too. Like I totally think they're a great pairing. So I'm happy to see them continuing along and now it's kind of switching where the sun will be able to support Venus.
Yeah.
And really give her that ego. Cause I think that's what happens with Venus and Scorpio is that she does reconnect with ego, but it can be in a really cool way, a really mm-hmm. positive way. So maybe too, like we're getting an opportunity to come around and befriend our egos again, but like in a refined way, more mature.
Yeah.
Hopefully your ego has like matured a
yeah,
little
yeah, yeah.
with all these other things that we've been going through, that Mercury retrograde and all that.
Yes. Wow. A big weekend ahead for us.
Yeah.
All. I love it. Okay, my friend. Well, now we are going to chat with our wonderful friend Sean Leonard, our strategist? What is our title for Sean?
Yeah, he's like our business strategy advisor.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
A very
though.
Distinguished gent.
Yeah,
see.
Like he's definitely someone who's on our, you know, he might not have a C title, but he definitely is like on the C.
He's part of the high five.
The high five.
Yeah, 100%.
Couldn't be the high five without him.
No, literally couldn't. The math ain't mathing on that one.
Period.
Check out the website if you're confused. Now, let's talk to Sean.
Let's do it. Hey, Sean.
Back in the growing garden, we're meeting a new team member, the only straight man we'll really allow within any distance of us at this current time. It's our very good friend, Sean Leonard. Hey, Sean, welcome to the pod.
This is the greatest introduction I've ever had in my life.
Oh, wow. You do get really good introductions.
I'm starting to do intros now.
Yeah, the intros have been really
at the request of our co-host.
You requested it?
Live.
Not that I have a lot of introductions, but...
That was a good one.
Setting the bar.
Yeah, I told you.
On As the Garden Grows. Thank you for listening. And hopefully we're watching on Spotify.
Yes.
Kijana, tell us a little bit about our friend Sean. How'd you get involved with him?
Well,
in the business.
Okay, makes
sense. Most people would have let it fly right by. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Clarity is important.
Clarity is
kindness. Clarity is kindness.
We don't want to mislead the people. Now, Sean actually came to me through a really important mentor of mine, Dan. Shout out to Dan. Love him very much. And we were connected. I really think we have a lot of similarities that Dan, you know, how people do that sometimes where they're like, oh, you guys both like yoga. Mm-hmm. You guys were both biracial. We're actually both half Italian, which I think is, you know, different. What is your black side?
American Negro.
Okay. I knew we were going there.
First of all, beautiful first question.
Yeah.
First
time.
First speaking moment.
I really don't even know why I did it, but
I did. Britain's next South Carolina.
Got you. So anyways, both have Italian. And yeah, we just, I think, have had a lot of similar conversations with him probably. And so he wanted to connect us. I'm really not sure in what vein of connection, but did make the connection and we did chat and we had a very interesting conversation. And I remember leaving that conversation thinking, I'll probably never talk to that person again in my life. That's not someone I ever really need to, you know, get into it
speak
with.
Speak on it.
Full transparency. Pick that up. Picked up what you were putting down that day.
I could
feel it through the
Most people can. When it comes to me, most people can.
Oh, it was digital.
The digital conduit was did not matter.
Wow.
He didn't have a phone at the time, so we were speaking. What was it?
Don't act like you don't know what it is.
What was it, like FaceTime? Like, what's the only phone version of FaceTime?
FaceTime audio?
Yes. Period.
Yeah. Our friend was, we'll get to the full story later, but rocking an iPod Touch as a means of communication when we first got on board with that.
Yeah.
Life is good.
And that speaks to Sean's character.
Period.
Because that is someone that is so great that we allowed him into our lives after debuting with an iPod Touch saying, reach me at an email address, an iCloud.
Like phone or any type of connection that had to be through an email.
What if we had a droid person on the team? It would have just been like, best of luck getting in touch with Sean. Send him an email.
I'm trying to get back to his life.
Yeah.
Don't keep that in mind. He's all the way back, guys. But anyway.
I believe they've discontinued the iPod Touch, so you're out of luck on that one.
I got a couple in the closet.
He's told me that before.
Thank you for sharing and letting me know because I wasn't aware that they were going out of business.
Yep,
putting it on eBay.
But when I did, I got a couple.
Stocked up.
I got a couple stashed.
I'm so glad.
Very affordable. Anyways, so that was our introduction. Like I said, I left that conversation not really feeling that we would ever speak again. But it was an interesting conversation. You know?
Oh, no, it was a good conversation.
Yeah, it was a great conversation.
It was an intellectual conversation.
It was definitely an intellectual conversation. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, you know, Sean's a Virgo. It was, you know.
Okay.
So.
May I ask, before we continue, Sean, how did you interpret the experience? There was not going to be a follow-up conversation
to the content or the context that we were speaking about, right?
Even though I lied and said there would be many times.
Yes, but I knew that there was no follow-through coming. Mm-hmm. That was clear.
Yeah. That was
very clear.
It was empty promises. I was making them.
So we really started.
It was a gesture due to the fact that Dan connected us.
Yes,
it was 100%.
Pretty much.
It wasn't like, I don't think it was like a level of like animosity or hatred there, but it was just like not aligned right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not aligned.
The alignment really wasn't there in that moment. Like it was there on the macro level, but it was not there.
Yeah. At that point in the path, it was still a left and a right turn.
However, a year later, when I was doing yoga teacher training, I recognized that there were some holes in the program that personally, it wasn't that I didn't feel like I could fill them. It was like I knew that there was going to be someone who could do it better. And Sean was the person that came to mind. And so I reached out to him and asked him to come in. And honestly, the rest is history. Because really after that, I think we all kind of created a bond with him.
Totally.
You know, because Ryan, Sarah, and Ange were all in YTT at that time. Yes. Yes. And so we all kind of created a bond with him and, you know, the relationship has just transpired to him being here on our team now in a big way.
And lost I think in particular for us, it was our opportunity to work together.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
In the
for
YTT,
sure.
Right? Like we were able to, all right, how is this going to look if we are actually partnering on something or if we're supporting each other in something that we both care a lot about?
Care a lot about and can really respect each other's experience because I think you come from a really incredible yoga background that I have a lot of admiration for and a lot of respect for. And I was really excited and honored to be able to include it in my program. And so I know for me, that generally is a way for me to create a better connection with people when I can kind of find that common ground with them and feel like, okay, this is something that I can really be excited about. And honestly, the way that you came in and were so willing to make it your own, the content and share and teach the content in your way, I think also really excited me because it, like, for the first time, I was like, oh, like, this is how I can really see this business, the yoga side of this business, growing in a really cool way that is important to me, but I can't necessarily bring to the table. So I was really excited about that too.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, what was your first impression of I&I Rose Garden, like, as a business? What did you think was going on in that backyard?
Okay. That's good. I forget about that sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm coming into this class blind, like, as she was saying, we don't know each other at all.
Simply sent him an email and said, hey, would you like to come and, you know, teach a couple classes at YTT?
I'd like to just take a moment to pause here. That's what makes a woman, you know, a CEO, is that she's like, I didn't have a good time with you. I made it clear that I would not pursue this relationship again. But then upon reflection, when I thought like, oh, this could be like a nice working relationship, I'll just send the email. Like, no, like, I love that about you. That's how you get shit done.
13 months later.
13 months later. I know I haven't followed up. I'd still love to get that look.
something got, I had bad Wi-Fi and yeah. The last message got stuck in my outbox, but I would love to further this conversation.
Yeah. It's a boss move. So, just want to highlight it.
Yeah, it is. Respect. So I walk in and there's like 7-foot weed trees and stuff around. And I'm like, I say trees because like these were big plants, right? And I'm like, totally thrown off by that as it is. I had, you know, did a little bit of research in preparation for coming out and knew that there was, you know, that the ganja yoga piece was a part of the brand.
Because we had never talked about it.
Yeah, but we never explicitly talked about it, right?
No, maybe Dan told you, but I had never discussed it.
No, that was just literally me just like looking around the internet, seeing what was out there and stuff. Because, you know, just trying to do my due diligence, right?
I was like, we'll see how he does.
So I walk in and I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah, all right, this is cool. And then people start like rolling up. I'm like, okay, like I didn't know that the yoga teacher training was gonna also be like just roll up, like do what you gotta do. And I had never taught a class like that, right? And I have a tremendous respect for marijuana and or cannabis, whatever your choice of word is. But I also have an understanding of how that impacts, you know, you on a physical level, a physiological level, but also on, you know, an energetic level. And now I'm gonna be going into a yoga class and moving people and moving their energy, their pranic energy through sequencing and different things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of these people. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their ability is, you know, what is their threshold in terms of cardio, this different things like that. So there's just so many different, many different things going on at one time. So I just had to like settle in. And the late big bro, you know, he came over and showed me some love. And yeah. And then, you know, that was kind of like settling for me. And then we just went into the class. But it was definitely like walking into a whole community. It was a society. There was a feel to it. There was an energy to it. And I was distinctly an outsider being given, like, granted access.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like in a sense of you're not welcome here, but it was distinct. It was that powerful. And that was really amazing to see. And it was a great opportunity for me to teach in an environment like that. I learned a lot in those early classes just about my delivery and how I carry myself during asana. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I will say, like, when you came into our space, even for the first time, I very distinctly remember that moment because Sarah and I were in the middle of a conversation and we were laughing and you opened the gate and literally the entire laugh got sucked out of the whole space. It was crazy.
Like opening a car window.
Yeah, no, it was like, and we like both heard and looked and were like, hello.
Hello.
And I was like, yeah, the guy that's here to teach yoga.
But it really does speak to just the energy that I think you bring really into any space that you walk into anything that you do, anything that you kind of shine your light on. And it's such a powerful energy. And I think we all kind of felt that in that moment. And another really funny thing that I remember about that first class that you taught was that you asked the class if anybody wanted to teach Sun A or Sun B. Yeah. And I got up and looked at everyone. And everyone, like, looked away and looked down. And I was like, don't embarrass me. But it really spoke to, and nobody did it. They did embarrass
me.
But it was such an intense moment. And I'll be honest, up until that point, we hadn't had an intense moment like that in yoga teacher training. I mean, that was my first yoga teacher training that I did. Everybody that was in the session was my friend. And so there was a lot of laughter in that session. A lot of times I lost control of the room a lot of times in that. So it was also the first time that I was seeing this group of people like in line, like genuinely, like stakes were all of a sudden there and they never had been. And that was also just like, it was such a moment for all of us. I really do think, you know, as a team, even though we weren't a team in that moment, but you know, eventually we were. The universe knew it, even if we didn't. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just love to look back on that memory. It really is one of my favorites.
Me too. When we first met you, Sean, I was like, don't ever let that guy.
Yeah. They were like, we can't do another class with Sean again. Nobody wanted to do it.
Our friend Sean.
But I had already booked him for like 3 or 4 classes. So I was like, well, joke's on you
and
guys.
You know what it was, Sean? The intro was the breathing. The breathing was, and you know what it was? Because now I love doing that stuff with you. But it's specifically, you're right. It was 100% increase on intensity that none of us knew to expect that day or any day, honestly. Not until that point.
We were not.
But my favorite thing about Sean as a teacher is like, you just truly speak from your mind and experience. Like the way that you can just go on a subject and like field questions and remember where you left off and tell personal stories, but weave it in with topics you need to discuss is truly incredible. Anytime that we are offering something with Sean teaching, please do it because it's a remarkable experience. 100%. And so unlike anything any of us offer. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like I learn a lot.
It's a special Sean.
In a Sean class. No matter what.
Yeah. I appreciate that. You know, and it's that moment. And I remember that when I asked people to teach. I asked teaching students who are in a yoga teacher training class
to learn how to teach. To teach. Learn how to do this.
Super unreasonable.
Yeah.
So I come into a yoga teacher training and I ask people to teach, and they all look like the fear of like the end of the world is in their eyes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because I asked them. It was because they didn't want to let you down.
And I was let down. And they all felt it in that moment. Because I was also
again,
like,
not afraid
guys
to communicate her feelings.
I mean, I got up and I said, guys, don't embarrass me.
Hello?
But I think to your point and what you were saying earlier on was that, you know, I definitely bring a certain level of discipline to the practice because that's just how I was taught to approach the mat in general. So, yeah, it was definitely a change of pace for the group. And I think, to be honest, the class wasn't that bad. I think it was all the other energy.
It was a great class.
No, I'm talking about like in terms of being tiring or like exhausting. It really wasn't that intense. No.
It was an intense
class.
It was a beginner class.
It was definitely like
I wouldn't have classified it as a beginner class.
In the context of my mind, it was a beginner class. In the context of like what you're selling to like the public.
Let's tell the people, what is your background with yoga? Like, tell them how you train.
What is your background with interpreting things? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Let's not get there. We don't have
that. My practice has evolved, so I'm not, because of my life. My life's changed.
Yes.
Right?
True.
I'm not alone anymore.
Right. No, just since we've met
I'm
you.
I'm sharing space with two
father,
other beautiful energies. That has definitely been an evolution of practice. But to answer your question directly, though, it's like my background, it comes from classic Himalayan school of yoga where you're really focusing on detaching from a society. Mm-hmm. And it definitely brings a strictness and just, you can probably, as folks are listening and watching this, they can see that my energy changes just even talking about it.
Absolutely.
Because that's just where it brings me to. Mm-hmm. It brings me into this internal journey, this internal path where, you know, I have abundance and gratitude. So a calmness associates with that and it brings me to a very grounded space. That's my background.
Yeah. And you trained in India.
Yes.
For your...
Yes. And Rishikesh, out of the Yoga Shala there, great school, great foundation, great a couple of different schools there. But it was definitely, it elevated my expectations of yoga teacher training because I didn't have the context of what like a yoga teacher training in the U.S. would be like.
Mm-hmm.
So coming into that, into my first experience teaching in a teacher training program, I reverted right back to, you know, how I taught classes there and mm-hmm. what a beginner class was there.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And what the expectation of like what a yoga teacher was.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, like if you were taking a yoga teacher training, you probably practice at an intermediate or an advanced level.
Yeah.
Whereas like when you come more stateside or just outside of, you know, that really, that Indian or maybe Bali, mm-hmm. some parts. But when you get out of that, I don't want to call it, it's not an appropriate word to say like tourist yoga or something like that, because it's not appropriate. Everybody's path is everybody's path. Mm-hmm. My path is not better or worse than anybody else's, more elite or...
We could say Western.
I think that might be an appropriate way to say it. Yeah. For today. Yeah. Yeah.
For today, for the purposes of this conversation.
Yeah, we could say Western. Yeah. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, like when people approach the class, like, yeah. You know, people approaching this training program, there was a lot of like just beginner level novice experience on the mat alone, mm-hmm. never mind philosophically or any other components of it, right? So, yes, I guess my definition of beginner's class.
Definitely. A little bit more.
It's a little bit more advanced.
Then what, yeah, I think definitely so, especially just because like we really do accommodate the Western kind of influences of yoga. You know, we, for example, at the studio, like most of our classes are an hour long and we like stick to that. And there's definitely just that thought about thinking about time. And mm-hmm. in India, there's really not that concept of time around a class. And, you know, I obviously briefly studied, you know, with a yogi in India, very different experience from you, because even my experience there was really much more focused on the spiritual aspects of the practice and prayers and mantras and things like that. But it was still a really kind of interesting opening to yoga, just because before that I had only done Bikram yoga, and they really kind of like denounce Bikram yoga in India. They're like, that's not, you know, that's not
even our... before the scandal.
I think it was always pretty scandalous, but but yeah, so it's there's definitely just, I think, a level of intensity, even more so specifically in the program that you did in the area that you were in. Was it called Rishikesh?
Yes. Yeah. They call it like Yoga Village.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like that's a very intense, you know, yoga focused area. Yeah. And the more that you kind of learn about the yogi path and all of the different pieces that kind of embody what it is, it's a very intense lifestyle. And it's a very, I think just to even have the intention of being on that path requires a certain level of intensity and kind of drive to really want to be connected with, you know, more than just this level of consciousness, you know, really expanding beyond just the basic level of consciousness and even basic intellect. Like it's really wanting that. So I think that, you know, it was really cool to see again how your practice just was able to connect and resonate with everybody in our space, because even though we all came from such different backgrounds, and I really do include myself in this, like even though we all come from such different backgrounds, the intensity that you bring is something that resonates so deeply with us because it's authentic in that yogi path. And I think even right now, like you in your personality and in your demeanor demand that same level of calmness that you bring to any situation. And that's something that is really cool about you, really powerful about you, and really like, it really works well on our team. You know, it's a beautiful energy that you've really brought into the team and into the work that we do, not just with yoga, because the work that we do together now has expanded beyond yoga. And even that was, you know, kind of a surprise. Like, I know I certainly wasn't expecting it. No, even when I brought you in to be on the team, it was still very yoga focused, and then now has expanded. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so glad, because, you know, it just goes to show really how like this yogi path, it expands beyond so many different things, and you bring the energy into so many different layers and levels of our work. And I love that for our team, because we're all really dedicated to this lifestyle in different ways and at different levels, but dedicated to it, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect example of, you know, yoga off the mat and how, you know, I approach yoga as a way of living. So it's not just about the asana. It's not just about the physical practice. So to your point, it navigates through every component of my life on its own, the yield of the physical practice. It does its own work in me, right? It's that level of commitment to the mat and to the practice really comes with me everywhere I go, and it's yielded for me. That's why I'm very, very grateful that I do have the role that I do have in the YTT in particular, where I'm not really necessarily dependent on for asana. And then we've grown our team so we can deliver asana to meet the various different levels and the different perceptions that people might come to the yoga experience, the, in particular the physical practice with. So I like to be really, or I should say I'm grateful for that, the reality that like I kind of have that philosophical space in our team where it allows me to model the behavior of what yoga off the mat looks like in a classical sense. When you think about, you know, Ashtanga, the, you know, the eight branches. I really live that stuff. I really live yama and niyama. I really aspire to bring that into every room and every space I enter. And
Yeah, I definitely think we really know that and we really feel that. And it's a beautiful thing. I love it for our team. I love it for, you know, everybody that gets to come through our program and learn from you and be a part of this, which is also really great. I wasn't even thinking about this, but, you know, plug, we do have a yoga teacher training that program.
On the list of things to talk about. Yeah, 100%. So, yeah. We have a new program.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
Yeah. So it's coming in January. Tell them about your inspiration for changing up the model a little bit. So we're doing what we're calling a hybrid remote model this time.
I think that was kind of almost organic. We just were trying to accommodate the limitations of what yoga has turned into now in the post-pandemic or pandemic, whatever you pick your choice. It has changed this space. It has changed how we do business. And especially in a region where we have, you know, seasonal flus and things like that. And things just pick up at this time of the year for us, regardless, before or after COVID. So just having that level of flexibility and how people were able to make that work for them in the professional experience, as well as in their health and exercise. You know, people have started to engage just in their own mind, a hybrid approach to well-being and wellness that really didn't exist. So I think it was kind of a way for us to just be able to meet everybody there. It's almost more equitable to be able to offer, you know, hybrid models. I mean, when you look at businesses across the world, there's a lot of talk around how remote work actually brings equity, right? Because you can have folks in different regions and different parts of the world who are very talented at coding or even law, where they can now, you know, work in real time with folks because there's that ability to now accept that digital conduit. I like to say, right? Like, we are using that virtual interaction better and better. I think at first it's really hard for people to sit, for some people to sit behind a screen and like be like, trying to like get in down dog or like warrior or like.
And I think even for me, like as a teacher and a practitioner, like I even at first was so like, I don't know, is that the best way to deliver? But to the point that you're making about creating access, like it really is more about that than anything else. And I really actually appreciate that we're picking up this hybrid model just because it took me like years to get my practice to me, you know, like now I get up and I practice yoga every single day, but it took me years to be able to do that and get up and go. And like, there were years where I was getting up and go to a class every day, but I couldn't do it on my own for whatever reason. And so I think this really encourages and promotes people's individual practices in a beautiful way. So I'm also really excited about
that. Yeah, it creates a better space for self-study, for just processing the non-physical components.
Totally.
Because that was a big differentiator, I believe, in my experience, is that I did a 30-day program nonstop and then another 30-day program for my 500. So, like, you're there all the time. And when we're doing it, like, every weekend, even if it's in person the entire time, that is more challenging sometimes for people to learn because they are still doing this while they're working. I was totally isolated and had nothing else to do. So I was able to, you know, accommodate how I felt. Like, am I tired right now? Let me just take a nap and read this later. Or, you know, whereas like given that hybrid model where I think we'll focus primarily on the teething methodology and the physical practice when we're in person. And then allowing people to process the information how they see fit. Maybe they want to wake up in the morning and sit for 15 minutes a day with a coffee and do half of a lesson. Yeah. And in the evening, they do another half of a lesson.
And it's nice to have as a resource too, because, you know, obviously you get a ton of materials with yoga teacher training, but you don't have access necessarily to watch the class again. Now people are going to have access to be able to watch their classes again as many times as it takes. Take your notes however you like. It's going to be a really awesome opportunity, honestly. Yeah.
And then with a virtual meeting weekly also, then, you know, you still do have that time to bounce ideas around before you have the next in-person session.
And so, like, still get that camaraderie among people, because we learned from our last winter session, like, people can get very close just on Zoom as well. So it's nice to still have that, you know, friendship aspect too to people who are in the program.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be very digestible for folks.
Yeah.
When we worked it out and we actually, like, put the logistics together, I was like, wow, this is, I wouldn't want to teach another way, actually. This is a very, very effective way to teach, especially in the Western context, where people aren't just going to, like, you know, I'm going to take 90 days and go and just dig deep.
Yep.
That shouldn't be the only way to really process this information effectively.
Right.
And it's important to get creative and innovative. And I think that's what we've done here. Mm-hmm. And I think we're really going to be able to provide people with the opportunity to really engage in self-study.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not even, a lot of folks who are listening to me don't understand what I'm saying. So that's why you need to take the class.
Absolutely. Because honestly, like, that self-study, that's a huge part of the yogi path, the yogi journey. And, you know, I think it's such an important aspect that also we're not really conditioned to embrace in this culture that we live in, you know, like, to understand and appreciate how solitude is powerful. And it's like inevitable. If you don't do this, there's so much that you miss, you know, in the journey of you. And in
also,
your
like, you're enough. Like, you can be the teacher and the student. Like, we don't always have to go outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Which is a good lesson we learned throughout yoga, too.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's going to be really awesome. Check out iandirosegarden.com. It has all the details. It's starting in January, but we have an early bird discount going on right now. So if you want to sign up, you definitely can to reserve your spot. It is going to be limited slots because we have limited space in the store.
Yeah.
So definitely, if you're interested,
DM us,
let us know. Yeah, it's going to all be at the store, which is going to be fun.
Yeah, and virtual,
And virtual, of course. So yes, definitely check it out. Definitely let us know if you have any questions, but you're going to get such an opportunity to learn with these two yahoos. It's going to be so
fun. And
you.
You'll be blown with me. You'll be blown with me and also teaching as well. Oh, I can't wait. What if that was my way?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, and like, you guys are totally good on this, right? Okay, great. And I'm out. No, just kidding. It's going to be so fun. You're honestly going to get to learn from everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone on the team. And we have a great roster, too, of like guests that we've had before from other sessions. I'm sure we'll be back. So it's going to be really cool.
We always have, I think, a really cool lineup of guests and guest teachers and things like that. What I really think is super cool that we've kind of added into this program is kind of focusing more on the business of yoga.
Yeah.
And really using our expertise as entrepreneurs and business owners and bringing that into the program so that we can all kind of share what we've learned since we've, you know, been doing this, again, all at different stages of the journey. But I do think that people are going to really appreciate it. I do think it's going to bring a lot of clarity to how people can use this certificate, you know, beyond this moment, which, hey, if you take yoga teacher training and never use your certificate, by the way, like, that's totally fine. That was my intention. I never intended to use. I didn't even get my certificate really until I had to because I had to have it to teach in a studio. But I went for over a year without getting it after I finished yoga teacher training. So it's definitely not about that. But if that is part of, you know, your journey and your goal to have, there's so many different ways to use it. And I think, you know, we've all kind of brought in different ways, so it'll be really fun to share them with other people.
I don't want to belabor the teacher trainer at this moment, but what I will say is that I think, just practically speaking, right, you have at this time of the year, there's always that push for people to start to, like, you know, get healthy and so it's like, it's cliche, but I think it's a great opportunity just for that, even if you weren't interested in doing yoga, being a yoga teacher. And I think in particular how we've designed the program this time, it really adds value to anybody.
Yeah.
Because it's really, like, I think of it in my own mind, at least, as like three pillars. It's like a business development component,
yep.
right? Which could apply to any type of, yoga is just one industry, but business is pretty much business. Totally. I work in a lot of different businesses. Mm-hmm. I'm very entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that I do in other industries align here. Mm-hmm. I always say that 80% of what you do in any industry is applicable to another industry. Mm-hmm. It's the 20% that's like super mm-hmm. yeah. like niche-based, right? Yeah. So, you know, there's that business development component of the program. So that's cool yep. just to have that. And there's that existential part of it, right? Because a big part of getting up and exercising, right, which is the third part of it, just actually going to exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
you're going to
yeah.
exercise every right. week, mm-hmm. right? But a big part of that getting up and exercising every day is super existential.
Absolutely.
Okay. Commitment, motivation,
yep.
dedication, all those type of things that you really need to, you know, do that cliche, like, start the new year.
Yeah,
like,
yep, totally.
It 100% has to do with yeah. your philosophical approach to life.
Yep,
100%.
And just engaging with something existential, even if you don't believe in it,
yep.
it helps you learn about yourself. Because
yep.
like, if I don't like say there's a religion or something and I'm studying it just for the sake of studying it, I might not ever, you know, be a member of that religion.
Totally.
I might not ever worship it, but it's 100% going to impact me because I'm going to be like, oh, that's interesting perspective,
mm-hmm.
the way they look at that situation,
mm-hmm.
how they look at marriage or how they look at gender or mm-hmm. how they look at anything.
Yep.
It helps me strengthen my argument against mm-hmm. something that I might not believe in.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
It helps me get that that clarity in my vision. And that's what you really need if you want to, you know, find a way to work out 3 days a week
mm-hmm.
Amidst
right.
your schedule.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You really have to have that level of intentionality around mm-hmm. your life. And I feel like engaging philosophy and engaging existential type of thinking is critical to the human life cycle,
totally.
All the way into the end. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're getting to your aging years and you know you're getting prepared to leave this world. You can get prepared to leave the world,
mm-hmm.
and that's an existential
mm-hmm.
yeah.
experience.
Absolutely.
That's a philosophical
yeah.
experience.
Absolutely.
And I've had people in my family who I've seen suffer mentally, which
yeah.
then manifests through the central nervous system and then consequently the rest of the bodies, right?
Right?
Totally.
So you can see people not only like dying,
mm-hmm.
but like deteriorating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like I've also seen people in my family who live all the way until the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just like turn off, right? And
yeah.
like, they leave the world and
mm-hmm.
they go to whatever you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is probably the best advantage of anybody doing something like a yoga teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to spend thousands of dollars doing something this year.
Yeah.
Like I said, no matter
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
Like,
and
I'm not, like, and like, we're just saying it's human to human, like not even trying to sell the brand. Like you're going to spend thousands of dollars doing something
yep.
to make yourself feel better
yep.
because you perceive that that's going to help you
yep.
be a better version of
yep.
yourself. Could be getting your nails done. Could be like going to get a haircut,
yeah.
could be going to
could
buy clothes,
massages, yeah.
could be
yeah,
going camping,
mm-hmm. yeah,
like
vacation,
whatever it is, you know what I mean? It's going to be something that you do, but
mm-hmm.
what we have created here will 100% because of what we put into this, our quality assurance, quality
Very.
Control, I
yeah.
can promise you, regardless of who you are, or what
yeah.
you're trying to get out of this,
yeah.
this will add value to the type of thinking and intentionality that I'm
and
saying.
And dare
totally.
I say, like, it will be transformative
oh,
no matter 100%. What. Like,
you can't
no,
escape that.
You can't. That's what I would say. Like, the transformation, regardless of how you, of what the outcome is, there will be a transformation.
And like Sean was talking about earlier, like, so much of yoga is off the mat. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's the part that even if we say you never do anything with your certificate, you'll always be doing something because it's changing how you walk through the world. And I always say to, like, my friends, like, you should do yoga teacher training or you should find your version of yoga teacher training just to, like, realign you. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Nothing has kickstarted, like, my own personal health journey, like, going through yoga teacher training.
Same.
That changed me as a person.
Same.
Yeah. I mean, in one of my roles in construction, like I literally do like lessons,
mm-hmm.
like it's corporate, but it's wellness based.
Mm-hmm.
It's about behavior management. It's about conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's professional development. I'm a fundamentally focused on support role in a construction and development organization where my job is to provide professional development. In a way that's not about technical skills. It's more about how do we feel about situations? How do we navigate through those situations? This could be a professional development course.
Absolutely.
So
I was going to say, too, like public speaking.
Yeah, it's all
oh,
good.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many just like side benefits,
yeah.
side positive side effects that you get from going through a program like this.
Yeah.
It really is just And again, I mean, it could be so many different things that draw you to a program like this, and you could have so many different ideas of how you would use something like this. It doesn't have to be because, like, you specifically want to be a yoga teacher.
Right.
But
you probably will by the end.
I mean, I don't know the data around this, but, I mean, even where I was in India, a lot of people were coming there not to be a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
They do a yoga teacher training, but it has nothing to do with them being a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just want to really come in and dedicate that time
to themselves.
And intentionality and energy to bettering themselves. And they might practice yoga.
Yes.
Like, so they might practice yoga 4 or 5 times a week. So they're probably an intermediate practitioner, or maybe an advanced practitioner even. And they're coming here because their practice has changed their life.
Yes.
And they're like, I want to learn more. Because for the last 3 years, I've done yoga 5 days a week, and I'm 36 years old.
Yeah.
And this has changed how I approach life.
Yeah.
One thing I will say is, like, the yoga journey, what I have often felt like it has been for me is, like, it has taught me to hold myself accountable all the time in every single thing that I do, because, like, you do really, like, learn that on the mat. For me, at least, I learned it on the mat, and I started to apply it in my life afterwards, you know, off the mat. And there's this level of responsibility, accountability that comes with the practice that it's so empowering when you do it for yourself, and the gains that, like, you get in your life, you really start to feel like, I did that. That was, like, for me, the piece that really brought me in. And it was even before I did yoga teacher training, like, my relationship with yoga, feeling like I was making those little gains just from being on the mat, and even on the mat, seeing how my practice was, like, evolving. Again, I just did it because I was like, I just want to deepen my practice. I just want to know more. I'm so curious about this. And I really do have a theory that, like, the more you do yoga, like, it's so inevitable. You will become curious about the philosophy. You will become curious about, you know, the history of it. And it's just like, you just have to learn more. But, you know.
Yeah, so sign up for the yoga teacher.
Sign up for yoga teacher training. Or ask more questions.
The long and short of it all is
sign up for the yoga teacher training. Or come to a workshop or do something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, do something.
Do something.
Just do something.
You know what?
Get up and do something.
Why don't you do something?
Yeah.
And then also do it at the garden. Okay, Sean, thank you so much for stopping by. We're going to have you again very soon because this was a delightful.
This was so much fun. Yeah.
Wow, really the people are going to love it. I can just tell.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad. I'm here for it.
Thank you.
I love the people. So.
What an amazing chat with Sean.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's the coolest.
He is.
Speaking of cool energy earlier. Well, that was wonderful, and we've gone rather long, so I think we'll just close out for this week.
I think so.
And we will talk to you guys next week. We'll go full into that new growth. We'll talk about maybe Scorpio season. We'll see what the schedule is looking like, but it's going to be great, and we can't wait to see you.
Bye, guys.